impressed by the phenomenon of The Shack. The Shack is a novel that appeared in 2007. It's become an international publishing phenomenon. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list for many, many months. Currently, I think it's number 4 on the Amazon list of bestsellers, which is pretty impressive. What's even more impressive is The Shack is a religious book. More precisely, it's a Christian book. It's a modern retelling of the biblical story of Job, of a good and righteous man who confronts the problem of terrible suffering. We hear about the protagonist of the novel, Mackenzie Allen Phillips. We find out that he's a very decent, good family man, but that his youngest daughter, Missy, had been brutally murdered by a serial killer. They never found her body, but the last trace of her was a blood-stained dress found on the floor of a dilapidated shack out in the middle of the woods. In the wake of that terrible experience, this great sadness falls over the main character, Mac, he's called in the book. And then he receives this very strange note. A note appears in his mailbox with no return address, no other identifying marker, and it says, "Come meet me at the shack." And it's signed Papa. And we know that Papa is the term that Mac's wife, also very religious, uses for God, a bit like Abba, you know, Jesus' term for God. So it's a great mystery. Who wrote this note? Where did it come from? Who is this? Is it perhaps the killer himself trying to lure the father back? What's going on? But Mac is so desperate for answers that he follows this invitation, and he goes to the shack. And there he meets God. And that's the extraordinary thing about the novel. There he meets the tri-personed God. The second half of the novel unfolds as a series of conversations that Mac has together and separately with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What do I like about this book, especially precisely as a Catholic? Well, there's a lot of things I like about it. One is, it's robustly Christian. The image of God is a Trinitarian image. God is not some vague abstraction. God's not simply one. God is the three-personed God. At one point, when he meets the three persons, he says, well, which one of you is God? And together they all say, I am. Which strikes me as pretty much a right way of construing the Christian sense of the Trinity. More to it, this God, this Trinitarian God, is love right through. And that's all the Trinity means for us. God's a play of lover, the Father, beloved, the Son, and love, the love that the Father and Son share. So that's portrayed very clearly, I think, in the novel, that God is love. Also, that God is not a distant power, as in deism. God's not a distant abstraction, but God is someone who knows us intimately and personally. That comes through very clearly in the book. God knows all the details of Mac's life. He knows all the details of this terrible loss. Well, here's the God of the Bible, not the God of the philosophers. This is the God of Psalm 139. Lord, you search me and you know me. You know my resting and my rising. You discern my purpose from afar. That's the God that he portrays, I think, very effectively in this book. And then relatedly, I also like this very much. God is someone to whom we can talk as a friend. Remember at the end of the Old Testament or of the New Testament, Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but friends. Well, there's the whole goal of the spiritual life, is to enter into this friendship with God. Well, that's very clearly portrayed in the novel. Mac cooks with God the Father. They prepare a dinner together. He gardens with the Holy Spirit. He goes for a boat ride with the Son. Well, you think, well, that's kind of peculiar, but then, heck, in the Bible, Adam walks with God in easy fellowship in the garden. Jesus goes on the boat with his disciples. Jesus even prepares a meal for his disciples after the resurrection. So I think he's in the biblical spirit there. Finally, I'd say this on the positive side. The way the central problem is resolved is a very biblical way. Namely, how do you reconcile terrible suffering with God's infinite love? And the answer is along the lines of the book of Job, that God has a grasp of the totality of things that we can't possibly even approach. What God knows of the totality of his creation is something that so transcends our capacity that we can't appreciate what God is about. And rather, we're called upon to trust in God. That theme is all through the Shack, which I think is a very powerful and positive biblical theme, that you trust in God even when you can't see clearly what God is doing. Anyway, all of that I liked. All of that I appreciated theologically about the Shack. You know where I drew back a little bit was toward the end of the novel when God begins sounding a little too much like Martin Luther. Now here's what I mean. The conversation finally turns toward questions of law and religion. And we get a very sort of Protestant reading of that relationship. Luther, as you know, drove a wedge between law and grace. So he said, for example, the purpose of the law, let's say the Old Testament law, is to convince us that we can't possibly save ourselves. It's to convict us of our own incapacity, that we're crushed, as it were, under the weight of the law. And then in that position, we're ready to receive grace. Well, that's Luther's position, and it's very much the position of this book. Well, Catholics have for the past 500 years, balked at that. That was a fighting point of the Reformation 500 years ago. Catholics have said this: grace and law are not in some terrible opposition. Law, rather, is a, call it the structuring logic of the spiritual life. What God wants is friendship with us. Well, I mean, any friendship has a structure. It has a logic. It has certain limitations and certain demands. Well, we recognize the law not as the enemy of grace, but as the partner of grace, if you want, in that sense. We don't see religion and structure and order and moral law as somehow opposed to God's mercy, but rather they're the structuring elements of the spiritual life. So, and that said, I would draw back a bit from the explicit Lutheranism of that presentation. But, you know, in the end, I thought The Shack was a good book. And I would recommend it to Catholics. I'd recommend it especially to Catholics who have gone through a lot of suffering and who are asking questions about God. I think they could benefit from it. But, you know, to use that kind of old analogy, it's like eating a watermelon. There's a lot of sweet stuff, but you do have to spit out a few seeds along the way.